You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. In January 2016, then-State Attorney General Bill Schuette announced he would investigate the Flint water crisis. Ultimately, criminal charges were brought against 15 current or former state and city officials, charges ranging from felonies to misdemeanors. Wayne State University law professor Noah Hall is an expert on environmental and water law, and he's been part of the investigation, serving as Special Assistant Attorney General. Well, now Bill Schuette is no longer the AG. Democrat Dana Nessel is in charge, and Noah Hall wants to talk about these past 3 years. What's worked, what hasn't, and why. Noah Hall, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into details, just give me your short answer on how you think the investigation has gone after 3 years. How would you characterize it?
It's been frustrating. First of all, let's start with the reality that a lot of folks in Flint still don't have clean water while this investigation has been going on. And so as frustrating as it is that the investigation is taking several years and legal accountability is going to take even more, there's a tremendous weight looming over all of that, which is while we're continuing to fight for the citizens of Flint and trying to hold government officials accountable, a lot of folks in Flint are still struggling every day to meet their life needs with basic clean water.
So as of last week, you no longer report to Bill Schuette, and now you feel you're able to speak about the Flint investigation in a way that you could not have up until now, both the criminal and the civil sides. Why is that?
Well, to be very clear, working with Bill Schuette, I always found him to have tremendous integrity and the highest of legal ethics. He made the decision early on when he announced his Flint water crisis investigation that he was going to take the unusual step of directly involving himself in this investigation and in the work of the special counsel. Now, what's very unusual about this is that the Attorney General for the state of Michigan has a constitutional duty to defend the state and its officers, including the governor and the agency officials. So the Attorney General is constitutionally obligated to defend the state, but the Attorney General, Bill Schuette, wanted to be involved in the investigation of the governor's administration and other wrongdoing by state officials. This created at least the appearance of a conflict, and it came to a head about 2 years ago when we filed some papers in a federal court, and a federal judge made very clear that as long as Bill Schuette individually was involved in the special counsel's civil litigation work, we could not take positions against the state of Michigan. Now that Bill Schuette is no longer in office and Dana Nessel is the Attorney General, Dana Nessel has not had any interference or communication with my civil litigation work. And my assumption is that she's allowing the civil litigation to continue. I intend to wrap up the work shortly and provide a complete report and accounting to the public of what happened, why it happened, and most importantly, how we can fix state government so that what happened in Flint will not happen over and over again.
Okay, let's start, if we can, with the criminal charges. 3 years, 15 people charged, including Health and Human Services Director Nick Lyon and Dr. Eden Wells, the state's medical executive. In fact, preliminary hearings are scheduled to continue today. No one has gone to trial, much less no convictions. So you've got two Michigan Department of Environmental Quality officials have pleaded no contest to misdemeanors, and they're agreeing to testify against other officials in their criminal cases. So there we are. What are you satisfied with, Noah, in terms of who has been charged criminally and what those charges are?
Well, without speaking to the culpability of any of the individual defendants, all of whom have constitutional rights, I will say that I feel very solid about charging the officials that we did. Subsequent civil litigation, including a recent decision just last week out of the Federal Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit, looked at a lot of the same facts, many of the same documents, emails, pieces of evidence about the wrongdoing committed by these officials, and reached very strong conclusions that what went on in Flint was not a mistake. It was not an accident, and it was not the result of somebody being negligent on the job. Instead, what happened in Flint was the direct, predictable, intended result of unconscionable actions by state officials to disregard the law, disregard physical evidence of harm to individuals, and then lie and cover up what they did.
And this is, as you say, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals says this.
Right. Now, this is in the context of civil litigation,
yes,
and
yes.
These defendants are very much entitled to their day in court on criminal charges. But to be clear, these are not folks just doing their job. These were folks who took affirmative actions that resulted in tremendous harm and even loss of life in Flint. Now, the frustrating reality is that of those 15 officials charged, I think it's fair to say that all of them are the types of officials who are involved in carrying out orders and decisions for the Flint water crisis, covering up wrongdoing, sometimes lying and falsifying documents to cover up the wrongdoing. But these officials don't seem to be the power brokers, the real decision makers, the folks who not just put lives at risk at Flint, but benefited from those decisions. And what's frustrating both for the lawyers involved and certainly for the people in Flint is that for the 15 officials that we have charged, we know that there's a lot of other folks in government much higher up who were involved in the Flint water crisis, and the public wants to see them held accountable.
Yeah. So before we dig into that, I want to ask you about the civil investigation, which you've been very involved with. What is it you were looking to find out and the questions you wanted to answer for the people of Flint?
Well, when we began the civil investigation, at first we just wanted to find out what happened. It turns out what happened in Flint is actually fairly straightforward. The work here at Michigan Radio by other journalists and as well as the Flint Water Task Force very clearly laid that out early in 2016. We know what happened in Flint. What I wanted to learn with my civil investigation is how could this happen? How could it go on for 2 years? And what are we going to do to fix the structural problems that allowed this to happen? What happened in Flint was not a one-time mistake or even the result of specific actions by the officials, many of whom we've charged criminally. But what happened in Flint was the result of a systematic breakdown of our environmental laws, a failure of environmental protection in state government, and a loss of accountability to the public at all levels of government that we need to fix. The more we looked at what happened in Flint, the more we realized that it wasn't about lead or pipes or even water. It's about broken government.
If you've just joined us, we're speaking with Noah Hall, Wayne State University law professor, who's been serving on the Flint water investigation as Special Assistant Attorney General. So here's, I think, the question on so many minds. Why is it we still don't know, Noah, why there was such a hell-bent rush to get the Karenandi Water Authority going, to issue an administrative consent that let the city of Flint, which was already drowning in debt and under state emergency management, to issue bonds for this new KWA pipeline? Because wasn't that whole hell-bent rush to clear the path of the KWA, didn't that lead to all the awful decisions that we're very familiar with, using Flint River water, not treating it and running the untreated water through the Flint water treatment plant when it was by no means ready to do that? Why have we heard so little about the KWA and the new pipeline?
That's a great question. You're exactly right on the importance of the KWA pipeline. And the underlying financing for it in what led to the Flint water crisis. To be very blunt, the approval of those bonds and the issuance of those bonds for that KWA pipeline is loaded with fraud. And the frauds were committed by not just the attorneys working on behalf of the project. These are, you know, private corporate bond attorneys. But state officials, at the Department of Environmental Quality, who issued an improper administrative consent order, and frankly, by the Attorney General's office itself. The Attorney General's office signed off on the administrative consent order, which allowed the underlying fraud to occur. The way I look at it now is that given that the Attorney General's office signed off on the administrative consent order, it made investigating the circumstances of that administrative consent order and its approval very difficult and challenging under the previous administration. Now I think we're free to go and investigate all aspects of wrongdoing in all branches of state government, including the signing of that administrative consent order by the Attorney General's office. And I appreciate that Attorney General Nessel is not attempting to interfere with our investigation of, I won't even say necessarily wrongdoing, but flaws in the process.
But you use the word fraud.
Yeah. Well, and that's because, to be very straightforward, the state of Michigan committed a fraud in indebting the city of Flint for bonds for a project that it was never going to see. Folks in Flint are going to be paying debt on bonds that an emergency manager saddled them with, thanks to the involvement of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality and the state attorney general's office. We need to get to the bottom of this. We need to see how this happened. We need to see why the attorney general's office did not provide independent oversight of the Department of Environmental Quality in issuing the administrative consent order. And we need to ensure that far better accountability is put in place in the future, so that this type of fraud doesn't happen again.
And you talked earlier, as you're saying, you know, we've got these 15 officials, but we don't know who the power brokers are, which leads me to ask, as you've been investigating and digging, who do you think are the power brokers who were so, you know, hitting the accelerator pedal to get a KWA? You know, the people in Flint weren't asking for it.
No. You know, the KWA had been bouncing around as an idea since about 2008, 2009, and really didn't get any traction in Lansing. It was essentially a pipeline without customers, without money. Nobody needed it and nobody wanted it. And then come 2013, 2014, all of a sudden the Snyder administration was very interested in moving the KWA pipeline forward.
Do we know why?
Well, here's what I can say. The KWA pipeline doesn't really benefit many folks. Nobody in Flint needs it. They already had a pipeline working just fine, bringing Lake Huron water to the city of Flint. We don't really know who the KWA pipeline helps, but we know who it hurts. The construction of the KWA pipeline and moving Flint to KWA pushed the Detroit Water Sewer District further into bankruptcy and all but sealed its fate in terms of financial solubility moving forward. By pulling Flint off of DWSD, Governor Snyder ensured that DWSD as a unit was going to fall apart, and it led, of course, to the restructuring and the reallocation of decision-making to the new Great Lakes Water Authority. It's a convoluted tale, but in a way it's pretty straightforward and simple. Folks in the United States going back to Hamilton and Burr have known that if you control the water, you control development, and then you control the economy. There's been ongoing fights in Michigan over control of regional water authorities and the resulting power you'd have for economic development. Unfortunately, the folks in Flint got caught right in the middle of the fight and were poisoned as a result.
Even as Bill Schuette campaigned for governor by pointing out his work in the Flint water investigation, people in Flint, Noah, were really quick to go, hey, hold on. We went to the attorney general in 2015. We were complaining of bad water, complaining of health problems, and nothing was done. Are those fair criticisms?
Those are very fair criticisms. And again, it's another reason that I'm optimistic starting this week and starting this year that we'll be able to complete our civil investigation. To be very clear, the wrongdoing that led to Flint occurred in all aspects of state government. The lead is on everyone's hands. The Attorney General's office ignored complaints about unsafe water in Flint, not just for 1 year, but really two or three. And more fundamentally, these weren't just citizen complaints. The Attorney General's office has independent constitutional authority to uphold the environmental laws of the state of Michigan. If the Department of Environmental Quality is the one breaking those laws, then it's more important than ever for the Attorney General to act independently and oversee the Department of Environmental Quality and initiate enforcement actions. None of that occurred. What the citizens desperately need right now is a first step, is an objective, independent report about all of the failings in all aspects of state government. No more finger pointing, not one department saying it was another department's job, or the Attorney General saying it was the governor's job, or the state saying it was the federal government's job. We need one report that shows the systematic failings, and more importantly, how are we going to fix this so that the next time a citizen is drinking, has concerns about her water, or more more frighteningly, the water that she's giving to her children, there's a number she can call with somebody who's going to respond to that complaint, investigate it, and ensure that ultimately the public health is protected. What we saw in Flint were hundreds of citizen complaints to the Attorney General's office and the US EPA about wrongdoing at the Department of Environmental Quality, and they were all ignored. We need a far better solution.
Noah, why has this investigation taken so long?
Investigating an administration while that administration holds many of the levers of power in state government is one of the more challenging things I've done as a lawyer.
And we reached out to a representative for former Attorney General Bill Schuette, offering him a chance to comment. We did not immediately hear back. Tomorrow, part two of our conversation with Noah Hall. We'll hear how Michigan's new Attorney General and new Democratic control of the House of Representatives could be game changers for this investigation. Plus, Hall will share his recommendations to ensure that a water crisis like Flint's never happens again in Michigan.
One of the very frightening lessons we've learned from the Flint water investigation is that what happened in Flint can happen anywhere, and in fact is happening in many other places.
You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Noah Hall is a Wayne State University environmental law professor. For some 3 years now, he's served as Special Assistant Attorney General investigating the Flint water crisis under the direction of former Attorney General Bill Schuette. As new AG Dana Nessel reevaluates her approach to the Flint water investigation, Noah Hall sat down to share his first public thoughts on this probe, just what's worked, what hasn't, and what he's learned. He joined us on Monday Stateside and said the wrongdoing in Flint happened in all aspects of state government.
The frustrating reality is that of those 15 officials charged, I think it's fair to say that all of them are the types of officials who were involved in carrying out orders and decisions for the Flint water crisis, covering up wrongdoing, sometimes lying and falsifying documents to cover up the wrongdoing. But these officials don't seem to be the power brokers, the real decision makers, the folks who not just put lives at risk at Flint, but benefited from those decisions.
Noah, why has this investigation taken so long?
Investigating an administration while that administration holds many of the levers of power in state government is one of the more challenging things I've done as a lawyer.
That was from Monday Stateside. Now let's continue my conversation with Noah Hall. All right. And now a new attorney general, a new governor, both Democrats. What will that mean?
Well, first of all, I'm optimistic that with not just a new attorney general, but a new governor, we'll be able to not just wrap up our investigation, but begin to provide some accountability and solutions for the folks in Flint.
What would that look like? When you say some accountability, more charges, other people, higher?
It could be. It could be more charges, could be other people, could be higher. But I've spent a lot of time in Flint, and I've seen a lot of the folks in Flint spending their time in the courtroom. And they know how frustrating and unsatisfying our legal process can be. I don't think the folks in Flint are expecting miracles out of the courtroom. They know better. What they are expecting and what they very much deserve is for somebody to go to court and say what we all know happened and demand accountability. I can't guarantee a result. And I certainly can't guarantee an outcome from the court system. But the folks in Flint, I don't think have gotten the sense yet that the real decision makers, the people in power who benefited from the poisoning of Flint, have been held accountable. It might be in a court. It might simply be by letting the truth out and almost giving credibility to a lot of the experience and the fears that the folks in Flint had. But I don't want to overpromise because to some extent, Flint is never going to see a full justice for what happened. I don't know how the legal system can ultimately fix many of the wrongs that were done. What I think and what I'm hoping to do, and I hope this gives the folks in Flint some satisfaction, is make an honest accounting of what happened so that we can be genuinely confident and not just blowing smoke that we're making fixes that this is not going to happen again. Right now, I can't go to the folks in Flint and say that we've done anything to fix state government so that this won't just happen over and over again. The exact same we have the exact same failings, shortcomings, many of the same folks in office, the same broken environmental laws, and this needs to be fixed. And until we fix it, saying that we fixed Flint would be very incomplete.
And this is really then, to take what you're saying, we're talking about the people of Flint, but we're talking about everybody in the state of Michigan because you're clear. It's clear from what you're saying that we can't promise this won't happen again.
Yeah. One of the very frightening lessons we've learned from the Flint water investigation is that what happened in Flint can happen anywhere and, in fact, is happening in many other places. The Department of Environmental Quality is failing to protect citizens' air, water, even the safety of their homes throughout Michigan. The U.S. EPA is not overseeing the state of Michigan's Department of Environmental Quality. The Attorney General's office has not been providing independent oversight. Our environmental laws essentially treat people as statistics and doesn't give nearly enough protection to human life and your need for drinking water. We have really fundamental problems with environmental protection in Michigan and in the United States. And Flint was really just the canary in the coal mine for the trouble and the type of harm that any community can face given how broken our environmental laws are.
Noah, you have zeroed in on some major recommendations that you believe would help keep something like this from happening again. What are these?
Well, to keep it simple, I'm focusing on three recommendations to fix environmental protection in Michigan so that we don't have another Flint. The first is because environmental laws treat people as statistics, we need a new environmental right. A right of citizens to clean, safe water and a healthy environment. And that right should not turn a human being into a statistic or part of a cost-benefit equation, but rather it says that you have a fundamental constitutional right to be free of pollution and to drink clean water and breathe safe air. Second, our State Department of Environmental Quality has become little more than a part of the governor's cabinet and team. And we have a new governor who might have a new agenda and new priorities. But nonetheless, we need a Department of Environmental Quality that's independent of the governor.
We need a watchdog.
Right. Currently, the Department of Environmental Quality seeks to improve the environment in Michigan while advancing the governor's other goals of economic development, growing business, maybe providing more public infrastructure. And those are important goals, but the public needs an agency dedicated, as the name implies, to environmental protection. And the only way to have a Department of Environmental Quality that's truly focused on environmental protection and not run by politics is to govern the department with an independent commission. So the second recommendation of our report is that the Department of Environmental Quality be governed by an independent citizen commission, not by the governor directly.
And what's your third recommendation?
The third recommendation stems from the failings of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the Attorney General's Office to respond to citizen complaints about the Department of Environmental Quality. We need a new independent officer in Michigan, an environmental ombudsman, who will hear citizen complaints about the Department of Environmental Quality's failure to respond in any given community. Unfortunately, we saw in Flint hundreds of phone calls to the U.S. EPA, phone calls to the Attorney General's office completely ignored. There's no reason to think that this is going to be fixed under the Trump EPA. If citizens in Michigan want oversight and want a place for public concerns to be heard, we need to create it ourselves. That would be an independent environmental ombudsman. This person would not report to the Department of Environmental Quality, but instead would be empowered to hear citizen complaints and initiate investigations on behalf of affected communities.
I want to get your thoughts as you look ahead, Noah Hall. First off, the news that came that Attorney General Nessel wants to replace Todd Flood as the Flint prosecutor on this investigation and instead have Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy take over. Your thoughts on that?
Sure. Well, I've worked with Todd Flood for almost 3 years now. And I have to say, there's simply no more hours in the day for Todd to work on behalf of citizens of Flint. What he has given to this job over the past 3 years is really tremendous. And I think a lot of the folks in Flint have seen it firsthand. They see him 24 hours a day, more or less, sitting outside that courtroom, getting ready to do his job, going through papers, doing all of the work that it takes. He has given his life to this work and has done, I think, everything possible to advance the cases. I don't know Kim Worthy, but she has a tremendous reputation. My concern would be that if there's a transition from one prosecution team to another, it's going to further delay and further postpone any justice for Flint. Ultimately, I have tremendous professional respect for Todd Flood and for Kim Worthy by reputation, and I'm confident that as professionals and as public servants, they're going to work together and coordinate the prosecution. And if there's a transition, they'll transition it. You know, I don't know how to say this bluntly, but lawyers are not offended when clients choose to go with a different legal team. We do our work, and then if the clients want somebody else, that's the client's decision. No hard feelings. We're professionals.
If you've just joined us, we're speaking with Noah Hall, Wayne State University law professor, who's been serving on the Flint Water investigation as Special Assistant Attorney General. Circling back to your reference earlier of this recent Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals decision about Flint, recap again what it was and what does it mean going forward?
Sure. Well, the citizens of Flint did get a much-needed win late in the week last Friday. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals out of Cincinnati issued a major decision allowing the Flint plaintiffs' constitutional cases against the emergency managers and State Department of Environmental Quality officials to go forward. These were George W. Bush appointee judges, fairly conservative by reputation, who were appalled by the actions, the frauds, the disregard for law committed by state officials and emergency managers. To use the court's phrase, it shocked their conscience, depriving families, children of clean, safe water, lying to them, minimizing their concerns, turning the citizens essentially into opponents of government rather than the folks who government's supposed to be helping. And the Federal Court of Appeals decision names names. It points to specific evidence, and it says that in totality, the actions of the emergency managers and the State Department of Environmental Quality officials is so out of line and impermissible that it warrants constitutional claims and violations of due process for against people's right to be free of bodily injury.
So, and these would be people such as Darnell Early and Gerald Ambrose, the emergency managers that have already been charged. Were there names that have not been charged that emerged?
Well, three names that jumped out at me are three of the officials from the Department of Environmental Quality, Stephen Bush, Leanne Schechter-Smith, and Werfel. And
Brad Werfel was the media spokesperson, the communications fellow from the MDEQ.
Correct. And as a prosecutor, I can't speak to the criminal charges against these individuals, but I would very much encourage folks to look at what the civil court said these individuals did. And folks can draw their own conclusions about whether these state officials were simply doing their job or whether there was a lot more wrongdoing going on here.
Also, we have heard as the Democrats took over the House of Representatives on Capitol Hill that the new chair of the House Oversight Committee, Democrat Elijah Cummings, says he has every intention of getting Rick Snyder back in front of the committee. What do you make of that?
Sure. Well, let me just take a minute and fill you in on some of the background on this, because it's not ancient history, but it's getting old and the news moves quick these days.
It does.
Over a year ago, in the course of one of our preliminary exams, we called Harvey Hollins as a witness. Harvey Hollins is Governor Snyder's point person on urban affairs and one of the key members of his team in responding to the Flint water crisis. On the stand, Harvey Hollins was asked directly when he told the governor about the outbreak of Legionnaire's disease in Flint. Now, the governor had testified before Congress that he didn't know anything about Legionnaire's in Flint until a day before he announced it to the public, and that would have been, late 2016. Harvey Hollins directly contradicted the governor's sworn testimony to Congress. Harvey Hollins said that he told his boss, the governor, about Legionnaire's months before the governor admitted to Congress that he knew. And this was no small point in court. We asked Harvey Hollins repeatedly, are you sure you intend to contradict the governor's sworn testimony to Congress? In no uncertain terms, he said he did. This presents the strong possibility that Governor Snyder's testimony before Congress was a lie, that Governor Snyder was not honest in his testimony before Congress. He was not honest in when he said he knew about Legionnaire's disease. He knew about Legionnaire's disease in Flint months before he did anything about it, and he lied to Congress about that. Now, under Republican leadership, the House Oversight Committee did not choose to follow up with Governor Snyder and his potential perjury in Congress. Under Democratic leadership and Chairman Cummings, I've heard public indications that he intends to revisit this issue and hopefully hold Governor Snyder accountable for his previous testimony and get to the bottom of this.
And we will note we have put in requests to speak with Chairman Cummings, and we certainly hope we'll be able to do that. Noah, as you think of the work you've done in these nearly 3 years now of investigating what happened in Flint, what has most surprised you?
The most surprising, the most troubling, and the most problematic thing that we've seen in Flint is the evidence piling up that what happened was not a mistake and was not an oversight, but was a systematic disregard for people's lives. And the tone and the lack of humanity is something that, frankly, keeps a lot of us sort of haunted and up at night. The language that was used to disregard the health of the citizens, their children. I've never seen a callousness played out against an entire city like this, an absolute disregard for the health and well-being of people. And to this day, I can't make sense of how some people can make the health of other people seem so distant. What happened in Flint could be any of us, and the humanity of it just seems to have been lost on state government.
Wayne State University law professor Noah Hall, who has been serving as Special Assistant Attorney General in the Flint Water investigation. I want to thank you for speaking with us on Stateside.
Thank you.